Mother's Day. These roses are for you, ladies, so make sure that you get one before you leave, and we'll try to force one upon you so that, not that you need any extra beauty, but they're for you. They're a gift for you because we love you and appreciate you. Apparently, it's better than a McDonald's gift card. I found out this morning, personally. But it's the heart behind it, right? Our first anniversary, I bought Jody a fishing pole. Huge mistake. Because she told me about how she loved going fishing with her grandfather. So I thought, oh, that'd be cool for her to have a fishing pole. She said, that was my grandpa that I went fishing with. I wanted to be with my grandpa, not a fishing pole. So I never bought. No vacuums. Don't buy vacuums. Bad news. You live and learn. Bob, come on up. This is Marge and Bob.
Hi.
Geiger. And they've been here for a while now. I don't know how long, maybe 6 months? Yeah. Well, Bob, why don't you tell them how you got here? Because that's a pretty interesting story.
How we got here? Wow. We got here via Arizona and South Carolina. I work in the paper industry, and the paper mill I was working in Arizona went away. It shut down. So we ended up in South Carolina for 4 years, and then I got a chance to transfer back to the side of the country where all my kids and grandkids are. So we came, and now we're in Washington State.
Tell them how you found Evangel.
Oh, how I found Evangel. I didn't know which part you were talking about. Okay.
I like that part, too.
When I first got here, Marge stayed in South Carolina, so I was staying at Monticello over here temporarily. And I got there in June, and the place was having their grand opening for their ballroom. And I had been there a couple days, I think, when they had that service. But I walked down to the ballroom just thinking I would check it out, and there was a worship band playing. I was amazed. It was the coolest thing I had ever run into. So long story short, I ended up finding out where that band came from, and you supplied most of the musicians, and I've been happy that we came here ever since.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So you just never know when you're doing this stuff out in the real world. Thank you, Bob. When I was, I had coffee with Marge, first time I'd ever met her, and just, I was going to get together with both of them. Bob said, maybe you just meet with me first. Because if you meet with both of us, you'll never find anything out about me because I'm really quiet. It wasn't about Marge. Marge is not. No. It was about Bob. He just says, I just won't talk if it's both of us. So we got together. Then later on, I got together with Marge. And she started telling me about her life and what her life story has been like. And I found a common theme running through it, and that was that she's really gifted at, and maybe she'll tell you some of that stuff. I don't know what she's going to talk about, but she said, she was telling me, I found this common theme that she was really aware of and excited about bringing people together and getting them to work together. And so the first time I'd ever met her, I asked her to teach today. Because I was amazed at the grace that was on her life to get people to work together. So this is Marge Geiger. She's does a lot of things that you probably don't do. And maybe she'll share some of that stuff with you. But I just want to pray for her.
All of it.
Lord, I just pray your blessing over Marge today. Let her enjoy this. I know that she is looking forward to it. I just pray that your grace and mercy would surround her today, and she'd know that she's loved. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. When I was about 10 years old, my dad asked me to do chores. It was probably dishes. And I looked at him, and I said, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it, which I have sort of stuck to as my motto throughout my life. So teamwork is something that is fun for me. I adore it. I love seeing different gifts come out. And I've practiced it in a multitude of ways. And I have been outrageously blessed by friends and family that I've had the opportunity to be in teamwork with. And amazingly enough, when I started this, it's like 6 months now, and that's really hard on me. I'm actually the one who says, I'll go first, you know, instead of waiting for months to do something. So waiting for 6 months for this, it's like it hung over my head forever. So I'm really glad today is here. The Bible is full of places of teamwork. So when I started researching, because that's also what I do, I was amazed at how God showed all these different places and ways and ideas on teamwork. It starts in, one of them is Ecclesiastes. You need to have three people, and which is really handy since the triune God comes with three, you make four, so that's even better than three. So I'm kind of happy about that, that it's quite so simple. And we'll see if I can do this. Yay! So, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Yes, it's fun. I enjoy it tremendously. And being a mother takes a very special kind of teamwork. And I'll talk more about it later, but from the birthing process, you're growing up your kids, it sure works a lot easier if you have a team around you. So like I mentioned, there's a ton of levels of teamwork, and I've had the opportunity to be part of many of them. And you probably have too, although I'm not sure that you're always aware that you're in teamwork, what your partnership levels might be, because they're not always identified that way. So we're going to look at some of the practical and social and just cultural examples of teamwork and its elements. So all the things you really needed to know about teamwork you learned in kindergarten. Makes it happen, cooperation, working together. For me and for you. I hope you're all singing it in your heads. All right, kill it. Oh, there it is. Working together, cooperation. Makes it happen, cooperation. Working together.
Now we watch our garden grow and we come back every day. And the people in our neighborhood come round and say,
hey man, this is cool. Tell us what we can do to keep this pretty garden here for me and for you. We all say, hey, join us, come on to the scene. We'll all cooperate and keep our garden green.
You trim the leaves,
and you pull the weeds,
and I will add the water that our growing things need.
Cooperation makes it happen. Cooperation, working together,
dig it.
Cooperation makes it happen. Cooperation, working together,
dig it.
Cooperation makes it happen.
Perfect, thank you. So, you learned it in kindergarten or pre-K. Sesame Street, they had it figured out. You got to work together. So who are you talking? There it is again. So teamwork is more than cooperating, though. It's one anothering. In John 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So it's more than a request. It's more than a suggestion. It's a commandment. Later on, John writes, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." The really nice thing about a commandment is that if God asks us to do it, he empowers us to do it. He gives us the ability to fulfill what he asked. And there's also a promise there. So who is it that's around you that has the skills that complement your skills? So with Bob and I, he is an amazing, awesome at math. You know, when the kids were in school, they went to daddy for math. They did not come to mom. It was wise on their part. But if they wanted to check spelling or an English paper, came to mom. So we balance each other in that one of those very simple regards. Other people in teams do the very same thing. Some people are, you know, aces at small, fine detail. Others have broad picture. And finding those people that you can work with creates this wonderful synergy. There's a lot, you know, it's kind of a buzzword thing in corporations. But I like it because it's that cooperative energy that comes together that's so much better than you can do on your own. And we have a friend. She is in Campus Crusade for Christ. It's called Crew now. And she's a missionary in Lebanon. And I've known this kid since the day she was born. And it's our privilege now to be associated with her in her mission work. And in her most recent newsletter, she talked about these two young Christians, it's siblings, and they felt called to pray. So, brand new Christians, they don't really know a lot about the Bible yet, but God called them to pray. They met every day and they prayed. They met every day and they prayed. Nothing happened. A year and a half goes by, and lo and behold, the floodgates opened up. And people started visiting, one here, one there. Currently, so this is 6 months into this open door thing, currently they have a new person almost every week, which in a highly Muslim country is pretty unique. And it's kids. So they're going against their culture, they're going against the way they've been raised to investigate this thing, this meeting, this prayer meeting that their friends are going to. And lo and behold, the students are drawn in by the loving welcome, the encouragement that they saw in the other people. So it wasn't that they went out and preached Jesus, they were just kind and loving and welcomed the new people in to just study and to learn. So, in the 1940s, psychology was a new science that was being investigated, people were learning about, and there's this gentleman named Maslow, and he came up with a category and prioritized human needs. And I just think it's really funny because, you know, of course, food and safety, shelter, those are all the bottom tiers of the pyramid, but at the very top, he says, there is an instinctive need for people to make the most of their skills. A painter must paint, a musician must make music. I interpret that as this God-given drive to use and enjoy the talents he has placed in us. So, in using your God-given talent, and this is the very top of the pyramid, he calls it self-actualization. Isn't that a lofty term for knowing who you are and finding people to do it with? And he calls it a peak experience, which, again, I just find humorous because the peak experience for Maslow is a sense of purpose to the individual and integration to a group. So you could describe it with military buddies, championship teams, a worship team, those people that come together, use their skills, and are able to work together. Moses was called to a peak experience, a mountaintop experience, Exodus 19, when God calls him to the mountain and in the process, he calls the tribes of Israel, the people of Israel, together as a team. They started as a family, and then all the tribes, and they finally become a nation. Of course, it took them 40 years to get that part together. I find it very interesting that the peak experience in Maslow's life is also a Moses thing, and it calls together people to work together. So, this is my family. This is where I started. There are 9 of us, 6 boys, 3 girls. Grew up on a small farm in Michigan. My parents were both school teachers. My dad was a lay pastor. And we definitely learned a lot about teamwork, working together. We always had chores. You live on a farm, you have chores. Just it's a way of life. That's why they had so many kids, is to take care of the farm. You know. So there was always horses to feed, cows to feed. I refused to milk. That was one of the only chore I said, no. Because that's twice a day. So, yeah, it was wise on my part to not learn that skill. So that was us. And one of the things that actually we all did, well, we all went to college, that was one thing, but as kids growing up, we all played baseball or softball. And that was really a central point of us growing up. Okay, my family. So this is Bob and I. We have 3 kids, Mandy, Adam, and Debbie. And we actually have a foster daughter, Jolene. She was one of my violin students. She came for a weekend while her dad and stepmom were busy, and she stayed for 4 years. So it was good. She's several years older than our kids. And it was a good learning process for us. So when we were raising our family, we had the most amazing friends. And amazingly enough, they came from church. So they were the people that we did everything with. I mean, we're still very close with them. Trisha, Rachel, Vicky, first names that come to mind from my girlfriends that helped me grow up through mothering. So that's a process in itself. With my kids, they were in public school, but I also homeschooled, taught in a private school with them, and I finished in public school. So we had lots of opportunities to learning together, lots of ways for us to grow up together and to see the skills and abilities. That was one of the greatest things I liked best about homeschool. I learned how my kids learned, which I thought was really cool, because then I could help them the rest of their time. And I got to see their talents and abilities in a different fashion than a mom usually does. So I could call those things to life, and I discovered that was actually one of the biggest joys, was to see something in someone and to speak it into life. Like Renee did with the kids today, saying they're servants. I just thought that was really sweet, because whether they consciously remember it, it sinks into their heart. And I like that. I like being in that position to speak into kids' lives or friends' lives. And at our church, we had a women's Bible study, focal point of my week. And I mean, years, we did this Bible study every Tuesday morning. And out of that Bible study actually came several amazing things. We started a women's softball team, which was, it's just the Parks and Rec thing. And we were terrible. But we were the Grace Angels, so we didn't do very well as far as the scores went, but as far as teamwork went, man, it was just the best. And that was actually a huge growing time for me, because growing up playing softball and always playing and always being fairly accomplished at it, it was really hard to lose every game. We lost every game one season. So, guess who God was working on? But it was good. we played together for 3 or 4 years. Our fourth year, we actually had a different coach, and we were highly accomplished. It was really amazing. Some different people start showing up at church, and you didn't have to be at church to play, but that's where we all got connected. And we were actually really good. And it was interesting how our teamwork actually changed through actually being competitive instead of just being there for fun. And it just got a little tighter. And I thought that was really cool, that there was something about playing very well on the field that actually translated into our relationship in just a different way. And it just changed the focus just a slight amount. And another thing that came out of that, years later, so we went, Bob and I played in worship teams for years and years, and we went to a Vineyard music conference in Anaheim, and that year they happened to have a focus on dance. And it seemed like every class I went into, there was something about dance. Now, my kids all danced, and I worked at a studio, but I didn't grow up as a dancer. So I end up in this kids in worship, and it was about having kids dance. And I went to a women in worship, and it was about having women dance. And I went, okay, God, I'm supposed to learn something here, you know. So got back to church and talked to, it was Rachel and Vicki, and we started praying about whether Grace should have a dance team. And it ended up, June came in. So Rachel and June are two of the quietest women ever created. Sweet, calm, very serene women. And they were the dance team. They, in fact, after I wasn't able to participate anymore because I switched over to cheer, Rachel led it. And then after Rachel was gone, June still leads it. So God really sparked something in them. And it all started years and years earlier, I mean in the 80s, with women's Bible study and that relationship that we gained through that. So, did I miss one? I did. Okay, so in community, I was a hospital librarian. So I worked at Navajo Apache Regional Medical Center. And as a hospital librarian, I had the amazing privilege of being a community resource. And as that community resource, I did community education. I headed up the chaplaincy program for the hospital, pet therapy, you name it. I did all these feel-good things. And one of the best feel-good thing I did is when I went as a chaplain on our disaster relief team to Katrina. And we spent 2 weeks there. And we traveled as 25 co-workers. And I mean, some of them, I knew their names. It was 700 employees, so I didn't know everybody. But I knew where they worked or something about them. So they were very casual acquaintances. And we switched over that time period from just casual co-workers into a team, into an amazing team. And so the disaster, as horrific as it was, as bad smelling, it was horrible, as hot, as miserable as it was one of the most impactful things of my life. And I appreciate the fact that my family got along without me and I got to go. So I got to go to a disaster, get that one. But it was true. One of the other things I did was coached. So, the young lady kneeling bottom, let's see, bottom right, that's Debbie. That's our youngest. And when she was in seventh grade, she wanted to be a cheerleader. And they didn't have a coach. Okay, fine. So I'll coach. And I mean, I've been a softball player. What do I know about cheer? Well, I learned. I actually became a certified coach. And the Sholo High cheerleaders, because it started junior high and then I moved up when Deb moved up, they went from being one of the worst teams in the state to being one of the best. we went from truly, so this is competition level, never placing at state to winning state, never going any place to going to nationals. So we learned a lot about being a team. And at the high school level, that can be really tough, especially with girls and hallways and classes that you have to maneuver. But one of the most important things that we worked on is setting goals. Goals for the team, goals for personal. And the whole deal for me and team was, I don't care what goes on in the school, when you walk into the locker room, you're team. All that other stuff falls away. I don't care who's seen who. I don't care who had lunch with who. Don't care. And they didn't either then. It was truly remarkable. It was biggest gift from God ever. That band of girls became tight. They're still tight. We're Facebook friends. So. It's really delightful to see what beautiful young women they have become. Most of them are moms, and they've grown into just these wonderful young ladies that I am very privileged that I've gotten to spend time with. And just as a side note, a lot of my goal setting, all that stuff, came from two gentlemen. Joe Tai is one, came from the hospital. So we always had motivational people come in each year, and we would have, you know, the theme of the year that we would work with. And Joe Tai came, and he introduced me to a gentleman named Vince Pacenti. And Vince is an amazing, look him up on YouTube. He is an amazing motivational speaker and taught me a lot about coaching and personal, it's mental management, how to work within myself, how you think positively, how you move forward. And finished up with a guy named Lou Tice. He's from Seattle. He runs Pacific Institute. And although the class I took was based in, it was secular, you can tell the gentleman has a huge spiritual background. And he takes spiritual truths and he makes them into a thing that is culturally acceptable. And it's just lovely the way he teaches you to form goals and to set them up in positive ways and to help you learn how to think positively. Because Jesus is in you. Jesus is inside of you. And Jesus is positive. You know, he doesn't have negative thoughts. That's not possible. So culturally, we learn the negative stuff. We learn the pessimistic stuff. And it takes some shifting. Graham Cook is also amazing at working through this thought process, at seeing the Jesus inside of you and helping that to come out, and how to take every thought captive so that you can trap those pessimistic things. Graham's new thing is put it on pause. Just pause. Listen to Jesus. What does Jesus say about that? How does Jesus interpret this situation? And then, dog club. Finally, my dogs. So, dog clubs. Lots of dog clubs over the years. Lots of things. In some ways, dog club is the most difficult because the only reason we band together is for dogs. It doesn't mean we like one another. It doesn't mean we work well together. It doesn't mean we have even similar thoughts most of the time. But I had the amazing opportunity. Oh, God, it was so good. I was the president of the Kennel Club in Arizona for 5 years. And we grew and we flourished and we did some really cool stuff. Didn't always like each other, but we did some cool stuff. One of the most amazing is we raised money for oxygen masks. So where we lived in Arizona is a very rural area. And we would come from about 50 miles around for dog club. We made sure that each of the firehouses, and those are all volunteer run, that each of the firehouses had oxygen masks for animals. Because they don't, you know, the human ones are shaped flat like that. The ones for dogs are shaped more like a microphone. Goes over their nose. And you can use them for dogs, cats, birds, doesn't matter. So that was one of the amazing things we could do for our community. And we ran some really good events, too. And in fact, our agility competition would be sold out. So the minute you could sign up for it, it was capped out because it was that highly enjoyed. Couldn't have been that they came to the mountain out of Phoenix, you know? One little remark about relationship with dogs. That is a unique teamwork. I don't know if you guys have had the privilege of teaming with your dog or not. And it can be a casual thing. It's just your family companion. I don't mean just. It's your family companion. Or you're competitive. And we've done it all ways and all styles. We've always had dogs. In fact, before Bob and I got married, we went to dog shows. And I gave him his first dog. He was Sergeant. He was amazing. But looking at that relationship, it's a unique partnership. So I encourage you to see what gifts and skills God has placed in your dog so that you can see how to bring that out. You're laughing. It is. It is. It's unique. But just think about it. I have the privilege of competing with my dogs in a multitude of ways. And seeing my dogs learn to learn, seeing them figure things out, and so I dance with my dog. I'll just say it. I dance with my dog. It's obedience work that's choreographed and set to music. And the really cool thing is I may have it choreographed the way I want it, and at some point my dog will tell me how they want it. Because we have a partnership that has ebb and flow. And sometimes they have a much better idea than I do. And I just have to be open to listening to it. So, baseball. Yay, made it to baseball. Sports. That's a very common place for us to think about teamwork. That's normal. And baseball, it's my family sport. I love it. But you can't all be a pitcher. You know, there's got to be a first baseman. There has to be a catcher for the pitcher to do his best. And if you look at it, even if you're the best pitcher there is, even if you throw a perfect game, which is 27 up and 27 down, you had other people helping you out. You did not strike out all 27 men. That's never been done. There's only been 23 perfect games in 140 years. Randy Johnson, one of my personal faves, has one of the highest strikeout counts in a perfect game. So in 2006, he had 13 strikeouts out of the 27. But that meant everybody else had to be doing their job. When they come up to bat, the batters have to hit the ball. So for the Diamondbacks, when they won that game, somebody had to score. You can't just get all the outs. You also have to score. So sports, which is one reason I love sports in school, it has that amazing opportunity to teach kids this stuff. And if they have a coach, a sweet coach, that can call those things out, they get to learn it early. They get to see it and strive for it throughout, you know, the rest of their lives. So, John 14 says, "The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father in me." So we've looked at the cultural, scientific, athletic ideas about teamwork, and this is now the spiritual stuff. I want that. I want that closeness. I want that teamwork with God the Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want that in my life. But I got to tell you, when after Jeff asked me to do this thing on teamwork, I paid attention to your bulletin and went, one of the relational values, one of the bedrocks of your church, our church, is be vulnerable by being interdependent, working as a team. So that's a high priority here. And I sort of giggled. I went, I'm preaching to the choir, I believe. Which is okay, that means you're all in agreement with me. So that makes it easier. But I have been absolutely amazed and blessed by the warm welcome you guys have given us. We've moved a lot. We've lived a lot of places. The church in Arizona, we were there for 30 plus years. We were part of the walls there. You know, Bob had put in the sound system, and I had done children's church and Sunday school and vacation Bible school, you name it. We had done most of those jobs. They had to call him to figure out how to turn on the sprinklers. So to move from that very secure, very almost cocooned church, to move and go other places has been kind of hard. You know, so to come here and have this warm, wonderful welcome and the delightful women's Bible study has been such a huge blessing. But I do kind of crack up that you guys want to talk about teamwork, since it is evident that it is well done here. So John 14. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Yes. And it helps you forget the things that don't fit. You know, that's just, for me, that's just as valuable. You remember the stuff that he wants you to know. And he prods you when you need to work on it or act on it. Graham says, enjoy actively partnering with the Holy Spirit. He adores the process of renewing and encouraging. So, God is a teammate, working together with him. I love Crocodile Dundee's saying of me and God were mates. So, it's always tickled me that he was that casual in how he looked at it. Looked at his relationship. So, what's your view of God as your partner? Let's face it, if God's on my side, I'm in the majority. I get to win. And I like to win. It's been an important little factor in my life, learning to succeed and being able to succeed and God's grace through it. So, again, happy Mother's Day, which is this very special day to celebrate teamwork. From the birthing process where you have a midwife or a doula or a friend, husband there, there's somebody there with you. At least it was for me. I went with several friends during that and very honored to be present during those times. That's one thing that's always bothered me about the Christmas story. Mary had Joseph, and they didn't know anything. I mean, I thought, God, that wasn't very nice. There was no other woman there, and there would normally be a whole team of ladies. So I think there had to have been angelic intervention, because that's a rough one. Because it does. It takes a village. It takes a lot of people working together for motherhood. I was very blessed with friends from church that they were the Titus 2 women, that they would teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. I really appreciate, as Jenny and Pam, who are in my life at that point, that helped me learn those things, taught me things I needed to buy, took me shopping, thrift store shopping, yard sale shopping. Infants don't need anything other than that. They, you know, they're out of them in a heartbeat. But I want to acknowledge that this can be a really tough day for mothers or women who have not birthed their own children. That sometimes there's a lot of sadness with this day. And so I want you to think about Deborah, Judges 4. She was a woman and a ruler. She was a prophet and a warrior. They actually call her the mother of Israel. But there is nothing that says she had her own children. So, She's kind of a forerunner of Jesus. Jesus blessed all the kids. He blessed them as a father would bless them, but he didn't have his own children. So there's a promise. There's a promise in that, because Jesus blessed the kids. He knew the value of family bonds. As the oldest in his family, it was his duty to care for his mother. And on the cross, one of his last acts was to look at John and Mary, who were standing there, and say, "John, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son." He put them together. He adopted Mary into John's family, which is sweet. So he was looking ahead to what Mary was going to need. And he does that for everybody. There's a promise in that. One of the articles that I found talked about military families and how lonely it is to move. Struck a chord with me. We've moved a lot of times. But in the psalm it says, God sets the lonely in families. So if you're lonely, there is a family for you. There is a promise that there is a place that he has created that place for you. And we are wired for that connection, that family bonding. I mean, Maslow said it. And if a scientist can figure it out, then it, you know, it's a lot easier spiritually. So just bear in mind, you know, I miss having those, my friends and family around. I miss having those people who spoke into my life all those times. Who know me, I don't have to tell my history. They already know my old stories, and they might remember them better than I do. So that's a hard thing to leave behind. But at the same time, you leave that behind. You know, Rafiki says, forget it, it's in the past. So you move on. So that's Lion King. So just catching y'all up. So, and Jesus, so Jesus was speaking to the crowd, and his mother and brothers couldn't get in. And somebody said, hey, Jesus, your family needs in here. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. So that's an additional promise for the lonely. You have a family. Jesus has one for you. Jesus had the disciples. He had 12. And then he had three, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. He had his close friends. He had those people he thought he could rely on. They kept falling asleep. They weren't all, they were us. resting in the spirit, let's call it. But they liked their inner position. But they were a team. They were a team. They worked together. They were there. You covered a lot of those scripture verses last week, Jeff, you know, when the disciples went up on them, when Jesus had them go up on the mountain, and they had to keep it quiet. And I just always wonder how much they lorded it over the other disciples. Well, we got to go. You didn't. We'll tell you about it some other day. You know, did they do that? Or were they cool about it and just say, can't say right now. Not our story to tell yet. So there's transformation. There's renewal. There's continually learning to see others through Jesus' eyes. To one another, one another. That's very repetitive. So Jesus prays for all the believers. I and them and you and me, that they may be brought to complete unity. Unity is teamwork. Working together. Cooperating. Work together. And Jesus, he's got our back. Quite literally, he has our back. So whatever other teamwork you're in, those team members have your back too. So I just want to bless you with eyes to see your team, a heart to hear them, ears to hear their words, your hands in service of your teammates, your eyes to guard their backs, to have a soft heart, to see when they need more support, and Jesus, let us find favor in each other's eyes to be that teamwork, that safety net. So, if there's anyone here who would like prayer for being lonely, prayer for see their team, or anything else, if you want to just stand up and let your team around you pray for you.
If anybody's, if you know you're going to have a rough afternoon, just stand up. Because a lot of times, Mother's Day is a tough one. I mean, it isn't necessarily the people you're with, but the people that you're not with that really breaks your heart. So if you're going to have a tough afternoon, stand up and let the people around you just begin to lay hands and pray for you. For strength and encouragement, we want to pray. Anybody? Yeah, just gather around these people. Yeah. Just begin to pray for them. That God would be with them, strengthen them, encourage them. I want this girl on my team. I think there's a lot I can learn and grow from just being around Marge and Bob. So can you. Yeah. Lord, there's so much that needs to be done in our families. There's so much that needs to be done in this world around us. Last Friday, we had an invitation put in our mailbox at our house that invited us to meet the neighbors, my neighbors, right next door to me, who had just moved in. And somebody had invited everybody in that area, that block, just the 10 or 12 families there, over to their house just to meet the neighbors. And my heart sunk because I never did. I mean, that's not something I would have even thought of doing. And yet somebody had thought about the fact that as neighbors in that on that street, we just need to know each other. And now I know 7 or 8 people that I didn't know before because, and these people aren't Christians. I don't think any of them are. One couple maybe. But it broke my heart that I wasn't aggressively moving that direction. And I just pray that, Lord, you'd open our eyes to see what's going on around us. Just like Marge was saying, that you'd open our eyes to see who our team is. And for some of you, you need to know that God is inviting you into his team. There's things that he wants to get done. There's things that he wants to see happen. And he's inviting you into his team to do it with him. And so there's all kinds of levels to this, but you can't escape the fact that we're working with God and not for him. We're working with God and not for him. If you're a parent, you're working with God. You're not trying to prove how good a parent you are to God. but you're working with him to raise your children. If you're part of this body, you're working with God to raise up a congregation who will impact this city. You're not trying to impact the city and so that he'll be impressed with how great of a person you are and how great a leader you are. He's inviting us in. Amen. So let's stand up. Let's pray together. And we'll get you out of here. There's so many things that you want to do, Jesus, and there's so many people that you're raising up. I mean, I just think about the people in this room, and there's a lot of people that are obviously doing Mother's Day stuff today, but there's a lot of people in this room right now who you've been working with and working through for years and years and years, because today is the day that they're going to make a difference in somebody's life. This isn't about the future or the past. We've been called to live in his presence with each other, empowered by him and encouraged by him and strengthened by him to be the people he wants us to be. Lord, we just say yes to you and partnering with you and what you want to see done. And we cry out with the rest of the body of Christ in this city, in Longview, Kelso, as it is in heaven, we pray. Let it be here as in heaven. Release all the benefits of heaven today here in this city. We pray that this would be an amazing day of focusing our heart and our attention on you. May you see amazing fruit come through our lives today as we partner with you, Lord. Amen. You guys have a great day. It's a beautiful day. Enjoy your family today. And thank you. Yes, and hey, before you leave, come get a rose. Come here. Come on. Come on up and get a rose. Yeah. Come on up. Grab a rose.